Judith, you were a longtime professor in the Hugh Downs School of Human Communication at Arizona State University. You left, you retired, and you have started a scholarship. Tell me about the scholarship.
Well, actually, the scholarship was started by my colleagues, which I was very appreciative of. And the scholarship is to help fund international students who study, who are getting their graduate degree in the Hugh Downs School of Human Communication.
So why did you choose to give a scholarship to international students? Because that's quite rare, isn't it?
I think so. And when I think about it, the first time I was an international student was when I studied in France right after college. And I remember going to the university and seeing a big sign that said, "International students here." And I remember thinking, oh, that's me. I had never been an international student. And when I think about how I'd studied some French, but I wasn't really good at conversational French. And when I think of all the people who helped me, all the people who helped me learn French, helped me be successful in my coursework there, and how important it was to me, it changed that study and then subsequent international experiences I've had. It's just made me just a missionary for international education. I know it had a huge impact on my life, and I know that the international students who come to ASU contribute a lot to our classes.
So international students, they need that extra assistance, do they?
Yes, I think they need help, you know, wherever they can get from people who, you know, live in the country where they're studying. But it's also really important here at ASU and in most U.S. universities because they actually pay more tuition. There's an extra fee attached to them because they're international students, so they have to have a processing fee that U.S. students don't have to have. And the other thing is a lot of graduate students earn money in the summer teaching, and because most of the international students here are in F1 visas, that means their work opportunities are very limited. The U.S. government makes it more difficult for them to have jobs and to work. And so just financially, they're really at a disadvantage compared to U.S. graduate students. And so for a lot of U.S. graduate students, they get assistantships. And again, for international students, they can get assistantships, but a lot of times if they're not completely fluent or if they are not completely familiar with some of the course content, it's more difficult for them to get these assistantships. So I think that a scholarship for international students can be really helpful. This scholarship could be really helpful for the students for the first year when they come. It helps them make the transition to the point where they can get assistantships from the department or from the university. It helps them, you know, fund the rest of their education here.
And I always feel that scholarships often, it means more than the money, doesn't it? It's some sort of acknowledgement that you're trying harder, you're doing well. How important is that?
Yeah, I think that's very important. And when the students know that that possibility is there too, I think that it gives them an incentive because most scholarships are not available to foreign students, not available. You have to be a U.S. resident to get a lot of the scholarships. And I know that ASU does have, they do have scholarships, especially for foreign students, but there aren't very many and it's very competitive. And so I think it was something that, because I feel international education is so important, not just for the international students. They bring a richness, I think, and they bring different perspectives in our curriculum. So when I have international students in my class, I appreciate all the students' contributions, of course, but there's something really interesting when the international students can take some of the concepts and then apply it in their own cultural perspective, and we all learn that way.
And you actually have specialized in intercultural communication, haven't you? So what started your love of intercultural communication?
Well, I think it started when I was very, very young because I grew up in a community of Amish Mennonite that's kind of a very strict religious community. And I didn't have a lot of contact with people who weren't Amish or Mennonite. And so I always kind of looked out at other people, you know, outside my community and always wondered what their lives were like and how they were different. I was always fascinated. And then when I was an international student in France, and then later I worked in Algeria, one of the questions that I really had was, why was it that some people seem to adjust really well and adapt really well to new cultural, new foods, new ways of thinking, new ways of talking, new ways of, you know, behaving, shopping, whatever? And I found that I couldn't always predict. I would think that there'd be certain people, you know, certain of the cohort that I was with, and I would think, oh, that person's going to have a really tough time here. And they didn't, you know, for some reason. And then some that I thought, oh, they're going to do just fine. They didn't. So it made me really curious about what it was about living in a foreign culture and adapting, what it was that facilitated the adaptation. And so I had such a love of travel and communicating interculturally that I thought it would be a really good idea to get a degree in teaching English as a second language, because that's what I did when I was working overseas. And I figured it was a way to travel without being rich. So I went to graduate school in teaching English as a second language. And it just so happened at Penn State, where I was a graduate student, it was in the communication department, which is very unusual because it's usually in linguistics. Then I started taking courses in, you know, nonverbal communication, interpersonal communication, and that kind of set me off in the communication part of it. And then there wasn't a course in intercultural communication, but I did a lot of reading, did some study at the University of Minnesota for a semester where they specialized in that. And so I eventually, you know, got my PhD in intercultural communication, and then I could study this whole topic of why it is that some people seem to do well and some people, you know, don't seem to do well. And
how about you? You came from the Amish culture, and then you went away, you went to France, you went to Algeria. Now, that was quite brave of you for someone in those days from that culture. Was it difficult for you to adapt?
I would like to think that I was really brave, but the actual truth was that my grandparents were Amish, but not my parents were Mennonite. My father was a Mennonite bishop, but he was educated, and he was very different from some of my relatives because he thought that education was important, especially for women. And so in addition to believing in education, my parents were also they really believed in helping people. So I had a lot of relatives who worked in disaster work overseas, even my parents went to Costa Rica to help out after a hurricane. My brothers went to Peru after a hurricane or an earthquake maybe. And anyway, so it really wasn't that unusual for us to travel internationally, but it was always for service. And so the reason I was in France actually was because I had signed up for a 3-year stint with the Teachers Abroad program that was actually through the Mennonite Church. And so it was a year in France to learn French and then 2 years in Algeria, and it was volunteer work.
Well, that's all very fascinating, and I'm sure it would be very interesting for anyone to actually hear about your life. And how long were you at ASU?
Many, many years. I think more than 30.
Wow. And what do you think is your greatest achievement work-wise? How about your textbook?
Well, yes, I guess you hope you hope that you make a contribution to students' learning. And I think one of the things about being a professor is, unlike some work, you never walk out of the classroom or, you know, leave your office at the end of the day and say, man, I made 35 widgets today and that was better than yesterday, you know, or I had people standing outside my office saying, you taught a really good class today, or I really like that letter of recommendation you wrote for me. So I think that through writing the textbooks and learning from, I have to say too, I learned so much from students over the years, but you hope that you make a difference in students' lives, and I have to kind of believe that because I think that's what keeps us, you know, professing as professors.
And how do you feel about the scholarship being in your name?
I was really honored. Like I said, it was my colleagues who set it up for me, and I felt deeply, deeply honored and appreciated.
Well, I'm sure the students who receive the scholarship will feel the same.
I hope it helps them as much as I was helped when I was a foreign student in France.
Thank you, Judith.
You're welcome.